Today is the second Sunday in the season of Lent. As we contemplate Christ's act of salvation on the cross of Calvary, we are challenged to look at our own lives through the lens of God's Word. We are invited to pause and reflect on God's call and will for our lives. In today's Gospel reading, Jesus was teaching his disciples about a Messiah who had to suffer. A Messiah who must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. Understandably, the disciples thought what Jesus was saying was not right. But Peter's protest expressed the sentiments and hopes not only of the disciples, but of the entire nation of Israel. I think other disciples began to realize that Peter didn't say anything they were thinking. Maybe Peter didn't say anything we hadn't thought or even wanted to say. Jesus has a very different understanding of discipleship than what most people probably want. When another's reality and vision begin to conflict with and overtake our own, we rebuke, we correct them, we take them aside to enlighten them, help them to understand, and to show them the error of their ways. That's all Peter did in our Gospel this morning. If we are really honest, haven't we at some point disagreed with God? I did. Many times. Asking why it doesn't do what we want. Why won't God see the world our way? It all seems so clear to us. If he can cleanse the leper, why does our life sometimes leave us feeling unclean and isolated? If he can heal the sick, why not me? Why not us or those we love? If he can calm the sea, he could calm the storms of our life, our world, yet they rage on. Sickness, loneliness, violence, war, poverty. These are all rebukes of Jesus. He's not being or acting like we want. Sometimes his words challenge and shock us. Maybe we are not so different from Peter. Peter must have said, Jesus, you've got all the power in the world. What do you mean, suffer? What do you mean, suffer? We won't let that happen to you. We've got to fight those Romans. Just a few verses before today's Gospel reading, Jesus asked, who do you say that I am? And Peter turns to Jesus and says, you are the Christ. You are the Messiah, the anointed one of God. After making him king, he wanted to advise him. Peter is right, and yet he also does not understand. Jesus is the one of whom the prophet spoke. The one for whom Israel has waited, and one who was supposed to restore God's people, who was supposed to restore the relationship between God and humanity. But it was so contrary to everything that they believed and everything they hoped for and everything they expected that Peter, speaking on their behalf, said, no, Lord, you got it wrong. And we can fully understand the human emotions involved here. Peter has spent 2.5 years with Jesus, watching him heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, cure the blind, raise the dead, and challenge the religious authorities. And now he was being confronted with a future filled with weakness, passivity, and vulnerability. And Peter didn't want that. He didn't want a suffering Messiah. He wanted a strong God. Therefore, the idea of a suffering Messiah just did not make any sense. And so made the invitation to follow this Messiah. It's the same till date. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. I wonder if Peter felt let down at this point. I suspect so. It was a heated argument between Jesus and Peter. Up until then, there was a certain glamour in following Jesus. He was hanging out with the coolest superhero in Israel. The crowds flocked to them. The miracles never stopped coming. The teaching was amazing. And no doubt Peter enjoyed bathing in the reflected glory of Jesus. But now, that all changes. The glamour is gone. And Peter is left with the cold, stark reality of the pain of discipleship. And the agony of realizing that if he truly wants to follow Jesus, he can't have it all on his own terms. I want to be changed, but I want to be changed on my own terms. I want to be transformed, but I want to be transformed on my own terms. The gospel reading says, he called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. This passage is so wonderful that it's recorded in 3 Gospels, Matthew 16 and Luke chapter 9. It is so important that it's repeated in all those 3 Gospels. The invitation to follow Christ is the jewel of the Gospel of Mark. If you could only hear one message in the Gospel of Mark, this would perhaps be the most important one that you could ever hear, because it is the pinnacle of our Lord's teaching about inviting us and all the sinners of this world. Come to him. He's always talking about the price of following him. The principle is winning by losing. It's paradoxical. There is no glory without suffering. There is no crown without a cross. And here comes the invitation. If any want to become my followers, if anyone wishes to come after me, it's an open invitation, isn't it? If any want to become my followers, if anyone, this is just a clear invitation to those who haven't yet made any commitment of what that commitment requires. 3 responses. Number one, self-denial. What does that mean? What do you mean, deny yourself? It means I abandon all self-will. I abandon my own ambitions, my own agenda, my own plans. It means dethroning oneself. It doesn't mean deny things, deny worldly pleasure. No. Dethroning oneself. Instead, we must let Christ shine through us. The Apostle Paul says, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ who lives in me. That's the calling for all of us. Self-denial doesn't imply a poor self-image that says, poor me, I am nobody. Rather, self-denial in the Christian sense implies knowing exactly who we are in our relationship to God. Second, cross-bearing. Christ's challenge goes on. He or she must take up his or her cross. Verse 34, if anyone wishes to come after me, she or he must take up her or his cross. In Jesus' day, mentioning the cross would have some immediate connotations. This was a device of torture, usually reserved for rebellious slaves and political criminals, that represented humiliation and extreme agony. They knew exactly what it meant when Jesus said, you have to take up your cross. Somebody said, a lady said, I married this man and I take up my cross because he's my cross. But the cross Jesus is talking about, it's different. Not every believer who comes to Christ will die, but there is suffering along the way. Rejection by family and friends, by relatives, by the people we work with and people we know, people we care about. You share the gospel with someone you work with, they will look at you as a black sheep. Persecution comes because of the word. Persecution doesn't mean beating or putting somebody in prison. Persecution means that you feel you are rejected. Persecution means people look down upon you. They think that you are crazy. People think that you are still living in the history. That is persecution, when you share the word. The third response that is required is follow me. Follow me, the Greek verb that is used here means let him be following me. It's a continual. So you deny yourself, take up your cross, and you continue following me. What does it mean? Well, the word actually means to imitate. To imitate. You imitate Christ. And Paul says that in Philippians chapter 2, 5 to 11. Imitate Christ. If you say you abide in Christ, St. John says in his epistles, first epistle, chapter 2, verse 6, says, you ought to walk the way he walked. You ought to love the way he loved. It is hard. It is hard for us to think of the cost of discipleship, especially our own personal discipleship. It is hard to face the future, not knowing what will happen, to think like Abraham and Sarah, that you will end up childless, to think like Peter, that your life will end without hope or meaning. It is hard to believe when all around you is dark, whether it's because of personal health, some personal issues, addiction, or family issues, or the problems we have at our workplace, and all you have is a promise. Such a situation calls us either to despair, to give up, to an endless life of wondering why, or it calls us to faith. Faith in a God who never fails. Trusting the Lord despite all overwhelming circumstances. Because the Word of God says, whoever believes in Him will not be disappointed. As St. Paul says in our epistle reading this morning, that Abraham is the father of all believers because he believed and waited patiently, all the while acting as if God would do as he said. It's a cliche, but I must desire less of me and more of God. As I die, so he can live. And that is what today's Bible readings are about, and what this period of Lent is about. Jesus was calling Peter into a place of self-reflection, to reflect deeply on whether he wanted Christ or whether he wanted his own idea of Christ. Does he want to be a disciple of the suffering servant? And we too are called into that same process of self-reflection throughout Lent. What does it mean for us to die to self? What does it mean for us to die to our own ego and pride? As Jesus says in this passage, those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. But the risen Christ, in Revelation chapter 3 verse 5, has this to say: He who overcomes will be dressed in white. That means in his righteousness. And then he says, I will never blot out his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before the Father and his holy angels. Our Messiah was a suffering servant, but he overcame and was acknowledged and glorified by his Father in heaven. In the name of God, his Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.